This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to look at the possibility that the ordeal of lockdown and pandemic, it's not over. And it's not over by a long shot. It's going to go on at least for weeks and weeks, if not months and months, if not years and years. But today, with announcements from Cambridge, from Oxford University, actually, in Great Britain, and other announcements by drug manufacturers in India who want to use the breakthrough that apparently has been made in both treatments and in a potential vaccine for COVID-19, there is at least talk that by September, things could be completely different. One of the largest drug manufacturers in the world is planning to ramp up the production of, they say, 100 million doses of this vaccine as soon as it's ready, which, again, could be September. But we may not need to wait even that long. Dr. Robert Epstein, who is a prominent psychologist, he's a senior research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. He's the author of 15 books. He is a former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today and a visiting scholar at University of California, San Diego. Dr. Epstein has a plan for getting testing up there immediately, which would change everything. Dr. Epstein, thank you for joining us on the show. Let me ask you, first of all, about the announcement from Great Britain, from the United Kingdom, about progress on this vaccine. The President of the United States seemed to be very encouraged by this news. Do you think that this means that we may be nearing a turning point in the battle against coronavirus?
Well, obviously, I hope so. But, you know, we have actually heard announcements like this over and over again. And, you know, one of the reactions I heard to this new announcement was that even if we seem to have a vaccine, it still has to go through extensive testing. And when it is first made available, which could be in the fall, when it is first made available, it will be made available, first of all, as it should be, to medical personnel. So, you know, no matter how fast things seem to be moving, we could be talking about early next year at the earliest, before a vaccine is widely available. And it could take much, much longer. Ebola, it took 10 months, which is pretty darn good. That's a record. But usually it takes 8 to 10 years to find an effective vaccine. And with AIDS, which has been around now since 1981, there is still no vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, what's changed everything about AIDS has been more effective treatment despite the lack of a vaccine. I believe that the numbers they use now, they think in the United States, we have about 30,000 new cases of AIDS every year? Is that right?
I don't know the exact number, but I know obviously the advances there have indeed been in treatment.
Right. And again, people have known all along the kind of steps that individuals and society can take to try to discourage transmission. You've been very critical of some of the draconian stay-in-place, shelter-in-place, stay-at-home orders as the best way to deal with the pandemic. You have a plan for universal testing. How would that be possible, given the fact, am I correct that we've ramped up so that we are testing about 30,000 people a day? Is that right?
I've heard different claims, but that won't help. If we're testing more and more people each day, that doesn't actually solve the problem. There's another way to do this which completely solves the problem. It stops the transmission. It eradicates the virus from the population, and allows us to open the economy fully and safely pretty much overnight with no need for social distancing. So I'm after something much bigger. I know positively that it can be done. I am in touch with people at the White House about it and with members of Trump's family. And, you know, I have high hopes that this plan will get implemented. I first published about it in March. I've published repeatedly about it since then. Was on Tucker Carlson's show recently talking about it. And
I've read some of your material, Dr. Epstein, and it's very it's very persuasive and intriguing. Explain to people how this self-testing that you are promoting would actually work.
Well, the first step is would be for President Trump, because he's the only one who can really make this happen. He needs to take the lead, and he needs to say to biotech, I need on my desk, you know, by Thursday, I need a device that we can mass produce, that people can use to self-test, that's highly accurate, that's disposable. In other words, think home pregnancy tests. And those are in the dollar store now because, of course, they've been mass produced. So Trump says to biotech, I need this. As a matter of fact, there is a test very much like it that's under review right now with the FDA, a simple color test, little plastic device. You stick it in your mouth. It looks at your saliva. If the color changes, that means you're positive for the coronavirus. They're claiming 95% accuracy. So in other words, we're a hair's breadth away from having this type of test. But then it has to be mass produced. We have the ability to do it. Obviously, we could work with the Chinese. We need to produce hundreds of millions of these. Believe it or not, that can be done if you throw all your resources at it instead of doing what we're doing now, which is just throwing incredible resources at little half measures. You produce hundreds of millions of them. They're distributed by our U.S. Post Office, by UPS, by FedEx. Every household in America has them. Social service agencies have supplied them to undocumented immigrants, homeless people. We've all got them. And then the president says, Monday is testing day, and we're all going to test. And I'm going to do it. My family's going to do it. Everyone in the White House is going to do it. All the governors are on board. They're all announcing the same thing. We've got 100 celebrity influencers, starting, of course, with Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. And we all test. And the next phase is the president asks everyone who tests positive to self-isolate. See, it's not everyone in the world who should be self-isolating. It's not elderly people. It's just the carriers. The carriers self-isolate, and I think there'd be extremely high compliance, because we'd be, you know, good Americans by doing this. It'd be for the good of the country. I think we'd get near 100% compliance, not total, not perfect, but pretty close. And guess what? At that point, the transmission stops. This was actually done in a town in Italy where everyone got tested, the carriers self-isolated, transmission stopped. And then the other 300, yeah.
Let me just finish that thought. The other 300 million
of us, the next day, can go back to work and back to school because there are no carriers among us.
Okay, here is one of the things. I live in the Seattle area, and one of the problems we have here is there are homeless encampments, and there are not just one or two. They're in many places around town. And even if you can distribute these handy-dandy tests at homeless encampments, I think that when you look at the population in these places, and the estimates are up to 500,000 Americans sleep in the open on a given night, it's a lot of people, you really think that there would be strong compliance from people who are camped out under freeway underpasses and then spend their days going around panhandling and or whatever else to try to make a few bucks? You think that there'd be widespread compliance from the homeless population?
That's a very good question, Michael, and it turns out it doesn't matter, because it's much easier to manage small groups like that than to try to give instructions to 324 million people. That has not worked very well. That's why we have more than a million cases and more than 58,000 deaths. Much easier to manage small groups. But it turns out it doesn't matter. Even if among the homeless the compliance was not so great, there's secondary screening. In other words, we'd have barrels full of these little cheap devices at the entrances to, you know, at least for several months, at the entrances to theaters and stadiums and restaurants. And you want to get in, you got to test negative. And then, in other words, because there's secondary screening, it means that the people who, for one reason or another, didn't get tested, they're still isolated because they can't come in. And so over
okay,
that's a
very, very interesting concept. Let me review this, because I thought some of your math was fascinating here. In material that you've written, you say, okay, let's say we need 300 million tests, and you say the per unit cost is likely to be less than a dime. But even if that cost is much more than a dime, if it's $20 for each one of these tests, how much is $20 if you have to buy 300 million tests?
Six billion. So call the whole thing, you know, 6.5 billion. Yeah, it's nothing.
Right. Which compared to what Congress has been spending right now, where they've just spent $4 trillion in economic relief. By the way, wouldn't this create a lot of jobs almost immediately trying to produce these tests?
It would create jobs. It would create hope. You know, people like hope. They don't like what's happening now. And it would, not only that, it would, believe it or not, if there was high compliance and we did the secondary screening, guess what? It would eliminate the need for a vaccine. We would actually have a method that we could use in the future against any kind of pathogen that's spreading quickly. This method could be used in the future to suppress a pathogen without shutting down economies.
Okay, how far away are we from what you understand? And I know you've spoken to some of the responsible researchers. How far away are we from having the technology to mass produce this kind of test? Is this the kind of thing that people could start up next month, next week, next year? When?
The first appropriate test, at least one I'm aware of, and no, I have no financial interest in this whatsoever, but the very first test that fits the bill, in other words, that could be mass produced, it's under review right now by the FDA. It could be authorized for use, which is what they're doing now. They're not doing full approvals. They're doing authorizations. That could be authorized for use within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
And during that time, arrangements could be made for mass production.
And for getting this distributed and out to people, it would certainly have a great impact on our schools, because the big concern at schools, as I understand it, particularly the elementary schools and even middle schools, is not that the kids get infected. It's that the teachers, that the adult staff do. And sure. And again, by requiring kids who are coming back to school to just do a quick test, you could provide a certain amount of meaningful protection. What is the best argument? And I know you've considered this, because you're a brilliant guy. I was looking at over some of the 15 books you've written on a number of subjects, some of which I would disagree with, I'm sure. But you surely have thought about what the argument is against what you're trying to do. What's the best argument against it?
The only argument I've actually run into is just incorrect. The only argument I've run into is it can't be done. And that's absolutely false. Of course it can be done. The problem is I can't do it and you can't do it. But President Trump, he has the authority to do it. And there's something very, very special about Trump that makes him perfectly suited to do this. That is that the people who would normally be most resistant to this kind of program they tend to be the core of his base. The anti-government folks don't trust the government. If President Trump took the lead on this, said, I'm getting sick of this whole virus thing, we're going to work together, the whole country is going to work together, we're going to kill this virus, we're going to go back to school, back to work with no social distancing. If he did that, I think there'd be extremely high compliance. And frankly, although I'm not a Republican, I'm not a conservative, I think President Trump would go down in history as a hero. I think this would be his legacy. And I think that this method would be quickly imitated around the world, and he would be given credit for having, in some sense, saved humanity and saved the world economy.
If somebody comes up with a false positive, is there a way to get a second opinion or a double check in a plan that you would have? Because if you've just taken this test and, all of a sudden now it turns purple, there have to be a certain percentage of false positives, right?
I am so wow, this is great. I have to say, I want to come on your show again and again because you ask
okay, thank
the perfect
you.
Questions. You just, it's like you set me up, and I love it. I love it. Thank you.
So good. It's not deliberate, yeah. But go ahead.
That's a great question, and it turns out that false positives don't matter because what all that means is someone has to stay home for how long? It's only 2 to 3 weeks. It's not months like we're doing
so
now.
So it's better. Okay, that's a very, very good point. In other words, boom, you've tested, and that means you might want to see a doctor, get yourself looked at. But the chances are, in the overwhelming majority of cases, that you're not going to have serious consequences or need hospitalization. And
okay.
What you're saying is that after 14 days, they assume that you're not infectious anyway.
Well, not only that, you would retest. And, of course, after 2 or 3 weeks, you would test negative, and that's that. So the only thing that's of concern, it's not the false positives. In fact, if Trump threw in a little cash award for staying home, $1,000, let's say, stay home 2 or 3 weeks, if the only thing is the false negatives. The false negatives, that's the problem. That's why we need the secondary screening. The false negatives, the test says you're not carrying the virus. You are carrying the virus. You're walking around out there. That's why we need the secondary screening for a while, which is cheap, easy to do, no big deal. And basically, you test positive at the entrance to a theater, you go home for 2 to 3 weeks. That's it.
Okay, there's a lot of attention right now, and I need, because we're just about out of time, I'd love to get your opinion quickly.
Sure.
On the German exception. Germany has this remarkable record of lots and lots of positives. They've tested a lot of people, and a lot of people have the virus, but they have very few deaths, the
yeah.
lowest percentage, I think, of any major country. Why do you think that is?
Oh, well, there's different ways to look at it, but I think it comes down to mainly demographics. If you have a lot of old people, if you have a lot of people with heart disease, which we do, if you have a lot of people who are overweight, which we do, then you're just going to have a lot of deaths. So the places where you see relatively few deaths, the demographics are better. Where you see a lot of deaths, the demographics are terrible. And they're terrible in the U.S. And to me, that's
okay.
enough
and,
of an
and
explanation.
We deserve better. I'm going to link to your material at michaelmedved.com. A real pleasure to speak to Dr. Robert Epstein, a research psychologist who has come up with a plan that honestly deserves very serious consideration at the highest levels of government, it seems to me. When we come back, more on the German exception and why the exceptional treatment of charges against Joe Biden. That and more coming up.